excellent song. Good words to think through. As you're taking your Bibles and turning to Luke chapter 2, let me just mention a couple of things that we need to be praying for. Friends of Paul and Linda Groff. I forget what the names. What was their last name again? Phantom. Okay. I had it on the tip of my tongue and I forgot Phantoms. Anyways, there's a lot of health issues that they have. They're friends of theirs. And just a lot of needs, and they're just asking that you pray for this family, the Phantoms, if you could remember them in prayer. Again, friends of Paul and Linda Groff, you could pray for them. And also, I'd like to ask you to pray, some of you already knew, but I just heard this morning that Jean Mumal has just been said that she has leukemia and is in the hospital. And so they, her and her husband, Claire, they need prayer right now. And so I do need to pray for them, encourage them in the things that are going on in their lives. And so let's remember to keep them in our prayers during these difficult times. Anything that you can do to reach out, be a blessing, let them know that you care. Please take the opportunity to do that. Again, Claire and Jean Mumal, Jean with leukemia. So continue to remember to pray for that. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I've entitled this Evidencing God's Grace in 2018. Evidencing God's Grace in 2018. And there's a reason why I entitled it that way. As we look at this verse, Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 40. There's other similar verses. If you look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 80, you're going to see a similar verse. And then the verse we're going to look at in chapter 2 and verse 40. And later on in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, the similar things, but said of two different people and said of Jesus even at two different times. And so I would like to look at the middle one that's listed here, Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Before we look at this verse, I have a question for you. What does God have for you this coming year? Maybe for the younger people, or really all of us, we can still answer this question. What does God have for you for the rest of your life? And some of you, you sit there and you soul search and you say, I don't know. I don't know what God is going to have this year. I don't know what God is going to do in my life. Some of you maybe have some thoughts, maybe some ideas of what God might do, but you're not quite sure. None of us know exactly what's going to happen in our lives. For some, they're big things. We say, where is God going to lead us? Where is God going to take us in this next year? What about the next 10 years? What about the next 20 years? Or for the rest of our lives? What does God have for us, and where are we going to go, and how are we going to go there? As you look at a big chunk of time, you know, the little things are very important, and we're going to look at that, but it can be very overwhelming of saying, you know, how am I going to get there? How am I going to, in the spiritual sense, how am I going to please the Lord, and how am I going to be what He wants me to be this next year? I want you to look at Luke chapter 2, and let's read verse 40 together. I'll read it, you follow along. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. God, I need your strength this morning. I do not have it. Lord, I do not have the words. I do not have the everything that I need. I don't have the mentality to be able to give this message in a very clear way. Yet I know that you have been working on my heart in a very direct and special way, and it's continually, daily, for me to go over in my mind and the thoughts and what you have for me in the coming days. And yet, Lord, I'm thankful for the pattern, the example that Jesus Christ gives to all of us here. God, I pray that this morning you would use this verse to speak to hearts and lives that are sitting in this room today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here we have one verse that sums up the first 12 years of Jesus' life. Now you think about that. 12 years. 12 years in one verse. Right after this is coming that Passover time where his parents are going to take him to Jerusalem and for the time of sacrifice. But we have this thing here, this time, this verse that just tells us during these, you know, it's going to be this next 12 years of what is going to happen in his life. Now, the last verse, when we look at verse 52, that is going to tell us about the rest of his life, from 12 all the way up until his public ministry was going to start. But we have this situation right here where he says this verse, and the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So we have this summary of 12 years of his life, one small verse that covers an instant after instant. Instant after instant. If I could say moment after moment, little by little, inch by inch, till 12 years has gone by. It's amazing how children grow up. I won't embarrass any in particular of my children, but every one of them I can remember when they were born. I can remember when they were so small and so little and so helpless and couldn't do anything. And I'll tell you, there was never a day that I woke up and I went into their bedroom and woke any one of them up and said, "Wow, you really grew last night." In fact, every single day of their respective ages, every single day of their lives, they looked exactly the same. But yet you look at each one of them and they are a lot different than the day that they were born. Now, how's that possible? You see, change happens, but change happens little by little. Instant by instant, moment by moment. Little change in the end makes big differences. Growth is constant, small, has great impacts. Let me read Luke 2:40 to you again. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's divide the verse up into four parts, four sections, four statements. First statement: and the child grew. The child grew. Number one, the child grew. Number two, the child waxed strong in spirit. Number three, the child was filled with wisdom. Number four, the child had the grace of God upon him. There are the four sections that this verse can be divided up. Now, don't let me lose you in this, the language part of it. I'll explain as we go on. Here we have one active verb that is done by the subject, Jesus. We have one passive verb done by an outside source. We have one passive participle that describes the subject and the verbs before, and we conclude with one outstanding evidence of the three facts. Let me say that once again, because that was hard for some of you to get. Let me say it again, and I will summarize what I am saying here through the message. We have one active verb that is done by the subject. That's Jesus. We have one passive verb that is done by an outside source upon the subject. We have one passive participle that describes the subject and the verbs before. We conclude with an outstanding evidence of the first three facts. We need to first look at the third point that I said, if we divided it up. The first point, and that is the participle, to make sense of the rest of the verse. As we look at these first three, the child grew, number one, the child waxed strong in spirit, number two, the child was filled with wisdom. Number three, as we look at this participle, by the way, the third is a participle, we see that the growing, in number one, the waxing of strength, number two, in Jesus, was because of being filled with wisdom, the third statement, which is a participle. Now again, I know some of you say, well, that's a participle, okay? We're not going to have our English class, or we're not going to even have a Greek class here this morning, but I'm going to try to put it on your level and explain what this means. But in a nutshell, statement number one and number two wouldn't happen if statement number three would have happened, okay? So let's look at the third statement. The child was filled with wisdom. The child was filled with wisdom. The statement just simply says filled with wisdom, but it's referring back to the child and his growing, being filled with wisdom, going back to the child waxing strong in his spirit, being filled with wisdom. The word filled. The word filled is a passive verb. Okay, it's passive. Now, what do you mean? There's a difference between the active and the passive. Well, I could say that the active, the subject, did something. Okay, he ran. The boy ran. Okay, it was the boy, it was the subject that was doing the action. Okay, or as many of the, if you look in a tense voice mood book that talks about the languages that were used in the Bible, you would see different words. You might not know what they're talking about, but it would often use the boy with a bat hitting a ball, and what he would say in the active is the boy hit the ball. Okay, it was the boy doing the action. He was active in this verb. The boy was the one that hit. The passive form is to flip it around and say the boy was hit by the ball. You see the difference? The boy didn't do anything, but the boy was acted upon by an outside force. Okay? The ball hit the boy. He's passive. It doesn't mean that an individual that's passive just sits there like this and doesn't do anything, but it means something was acted upon by somebody else for something to happen here. Now, in this, the word filled, it's a passive verb. It means that the subject, that's Jesus, is being acted upon by an outside source. It says that Jesus was filled with wisdom. He didn't necessarily do anything except receive it. And that is important, that he received it. But Jesus was filled with wisdom, and it's unsaid here, but who do we know would fill him with wisdom? His Father, God the Father, okay? God filled him with wisdom. So the child was acted upon by his Father, filling him with wisdom. He was filling him with wisdom. And that is a participle that is going to describe why the first two statements are made. If he had not been filled with wisdom, then the first two things wouldn't have happened. That's important in this verse. He was filled with wisdom. Now, if I fill a container, is the container doing the filling or am I? I make the statement again. I filled the container. Who's doing the action? I am. I am filling the container. The container is simply empty to receive it. Is it important that the container is empty? Yeah, so it can receive the filling. If I'm filling it with water, that container has to be empty, but the action being done is being done by me. I am filling the container. I am doing the filling. Here, Jesus is not doing the filling. God is. God the Father. Now, this verb is also present. That means it's happening at a certain time. Now, it can happen over and over again, but it's happening, and something happens when it happens. There's a filling, and it happened. It got filled.
he was being filled. It was a present. It's happening on an actual point in time. God would give Jesus Christ wisdom, and something would happen because of it. Certain points throughout his life. Now, understand that he grew, and when we look at these words, we're going to see that these are continuous words. He continued to grow. In fact, the word wax is an increase of. Now, before we move on, some of you, this is going to be hard to understand in your theology because you're going to be thinking, wasn't Jesus God? And what's the answer? Yes, he was. And I'll tell you that we will try to figure it out the rest of our lives, but understanding the deity of Jesus Christ and the humanity of Christ is something that I just don't know that we can fully grasp here on this side of the Jordan, this side of heaven. I just don't understand it. But the fact of the matter, was Jesus Christ fully God? He was fully God. So you say, well, if he was fully God, didn't he have all that wisdom? Didn't he have all that? Well, we understand here that he grew in these things. He grew. There's certainly an element of growing physically. When the child grew, I believe that in part it was a physical growth. He grew. But as we see that he was, that as we look at verse 40, that he waxed strong in spirit. There's more than just the physical. This is his mind. And I want to get into that in a little bit, what it means to be filled in spirit. But then he sums it up by saying, and again, this is the participle, in the fact that he was filled with wisdom. So we cannot take any of these things and totally say that it was only a physical thing. You see, there was the whole person that was being developed here. Again, in the person of Jesus Christ, I don't really understand how Jesus, as God, grew. Does that make sense? Especially in his wisdom and in his understanding and his spirit. But let's not divorce the fact that Jesus Christ was human and he did increase in these things just like we do. The difference is that he didn't have that human nature and he wouldn't respond in sin to the outside forces that were upon him. So, hard to understand, but much application for us if we just continue to follow through what the passage is teaching. Okay? So, we look at this, and so we see that it was present, his wisdom. God was going to give him wisdom at certain points throughout his childhood, and Jesus would increasingly grow and be strengthened. Says being filled with wisdom. This modifies, that participle modifies the child, the subject, and his growing. It modifies that, his being filled and his growing. His being filled with wisdom, his as a person, his growing and his waxing strong in spirit. I want you to keep your fingers here and turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. And there's a good verse that just gives us a little bit of glimpse of this. I love this verse. And again, we can get wrapped up in, well, Jesus was God and he never sinned and he was just this, out of the womb, he was just God. And he could do anything and he could. But remember, his humanity, he willfully and submittingly limited himself to be confined in the mind and in the physical body of a human. And again, I don't understand that. But he grew like we do. He grew like you do. And therefore, we can take this verse and apply it to humanity. Because he grew like we do. Hebrews chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse 8. I'm not going to get into the context, but notice what he says. Though he were a son, who is he referring to? This is Jesus, Jesus Christ. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. What? That's talking about Jesus Christ? He learned obedience? Well, Jesus Christ was God and he always knew obedience. In his deity, in his humanity, he needed to learn obedience through what he went through. Why? Because he was a human. Folks, I think we look at the deity of Christ and we forget the humanity and the fact that he went through what we go through. Jesus Christ lived like we do. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. That's what I don't understand. That was his deity. He went through this. So we see here the things that he went through in life. And God indeed gave him a certain amount of suffering. And he passed every test that he was given. Every one. Even when he was in the garden. And he says, you know, and he asked the Father to relieve him of this duty of going to the cross. And yet, what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine, Lord, be done. He was tempted, but he was in all points. He was innocent every time. He did the right thing. But there were, so he was filled with wisdom. God gave him that grace. He gave him that wisdom, and he was filled with that. He was acted upon, but it was God's wisdom that he gave him that did the work there. So, who allowed those things to come into his life? God the Father. Why? To learn obedience. So that he could, by the way, so he could be obedient one day when he went to the cross. And as the human, he learned when he was a boy to obey. He learned as a boy when he submitted to his mother and his earthly father, if I could say, wasn't his father, but Joseph, when he submitted to them. And he learned there in the carpenter shop every day when his father told him what to do and how to build it. He was training and preparing himself to be obedient one day when the father said, go to the cross. Question, what are you doing with wisdom that you're getting? Now, we'll talk about that wisdom in a little bit. But I want you to see two things this morning that will greatly influence you if you let it. And your response to these two things will indicate whether the grace of God is upon you and will be upon you in 2018. Two things. Number one, notice in the first statement, remember, all the first two statements are summed up because of the third statement that he was filled with wisdom by his father. God gave him things to develop him. Again, we will talk about that wisdom in a little bit. But I want you to notice, number one, that the child grew. He grew. How did he grow? The first point, if you're taking notes, is little things. Little active things in life that we do or don't do make a big difference. Now, the statement is, and the child grew. How did he grow? Now, I definitely know that there's a physical element to this phrase. He grew. He grew in stature. Now, how does a person grow in stature? Remember the illustration I started off with my children. I guarantee the five children that I have right now and the stature that they are today has not always been the case. In fact, from the time they came, they were little and they grew and they grew and they grew and they grew. And I never saw it one day. But was the growth, did they ever stop growing really? No, they continued to grow, but it was so little. But yet I ask you the question, was it important? Yeah, the little things in life are important. Now, the verb here, he grew, is an active voice. That means the subject did the action. Being influenced by the participle that he was filled with wisdom. As he was filled with wisdom, the child grew. Jesus grew. Notice that this verse covers 12 years. 12 years. We're talking about 12 years he grew. Did he wake up that day before they went to Jerusalem? And he went from the babe in the manger to the young man that he was at 12? No, he did not. You know, this verse covers 12 years. How many days in a year? 365 days in a year. Do you realize that's a lot of days? Who can do the math? 12 years times 365. What is that? Somebody really quickly. I know you have devices out there. What is it?
No one's moving. Nobody wants to admit that they got that. What is it, Dan? Oh, I thought you had it. I heard a ding. Somebody's dinging down there. 365, somebody. 4,380-ish. That just sums it all up, okay? Somewhere in between whatever and whatever. Okay, let me just ask you a question. We're talking about days. Were there a lot of days in there? Daily, right? He grew. Daily he grew. And I can tell you that at 12 years old, he grew to be a man of God. A man of God. How in the world could he do that by the age of 12? You know, we look at what Jesus Christ was at 12. And it's a pattern for every one of you young people that are out there. He grew. You know, some of us adults aren't even that close to what he was at 12. And I'll tell you, it was the little things in life that made or make a difference. Again, he didn't arrive one day at 12 and boom, there he was. However many days that was, did somebody ever figure out the right number?
It's right.
What was it again?
4,380.
4,380 days of growing up that he lived. And I just lost the number again. I had to write it down because I got to keep building on this. What was it?
4,380.
See, I did it already, but I completely messed up. I had the wrong number here. That's why I'm asking you to help me. I looked at that and I said, I had 780 days. I said, that does not work. I don't know where I got that. 4,380 days of growing up, going to work with his father in the shop. That's 4,380 nights of going to bed and getting his rest, by the way, which all is involved in growing. Our exercise, our work, our sleeping, our resting. Take that times three, 4,380 times three. What's that? Somebody do that. I don't know what that noise is, but you forget that noise, okay? Wind going through the windows or something, I don't know. But what's 4,380 times 3?
13,140.
13,140. All right, guys, young guys. That's 13,140 meals that he ate. Okay, you know what? And each meal, if he would have missed one of those meals, did it make a difference? Well, it did make a difference. You start taking one, two, three, four, five of those out, and there's going to be a difference, you see. But it was every day. You know, it was one more meal, one more night of sleep, one more day of work, one more little bit of exercise, in which you did. And I'll tell you, that is an endless amount of temptations of the flesh to resist and continue on in victory. Right? Because with every one of those days came a lot of temptations and, you know, that were confronted by him. Every one of those nights when he went to bed, there were temptations. And if you didn't think that Jesus Christ wasn't tempted, check your Bible, because he was tempted in all points. And that was all those meals. You know, and I don't know that Jesus ate three meals a day. But he continued to eat, and he continued because of his sleep, because of his exercise, his work, and we could go on and talk about the things that he learned as he trained under his father and the schooling that he had, whatever that was, and all those meals and all his eating. And it was there at 12 that we see him, that he had been growing. He grew. And he did it by sleeping. He did it by working and exercising. He did it by eating. He did all this, and the result of that is that he grew. And if it were not for the little things in Jesus Christ, the big results would never happen. Now let's get very practical. Remember the first statement, the child grew. This is an active verb. It's not passive. He did some things so that he could grow. Sleeping, eating, working, studying, pondering. And although small and seemingly insignificant, each one or each time was very important for his development as a whole, that he could and would become the man of God that he was at 12 years old.
On the positive side, he ate. And every time that he ate, it helped to develop his stature, his strength. Folks, every time that we eat or don't eat, it influences our stature. Let me ask you a question this morning. You might go without eating a meal, but do you go without eating God's word? And I know that I talk a lot about that through the preaching of his word, but folks, this is foundational. It's foundational to life that you eat physical food. It is foundational. It's an insignificant thing whether you got your meal this morning or not, but it is so foundational. Any one of us go without food, we will die. We'll first become very weak, and we will eventually die. Because God has given to us food so that we can live. And God has given to us food so that we can live spiritually. And I ask you, are you in God's word adequately? Are you in God's word that you're getting that milk, that meat that you need to partake of so that you can grow, so that you can be what God wants you to be? Are you in God's word? What about sleeping? You say, what analogy are you going to give? Sleeping, being still, resting, letting God's word go in you and make a difference in your life. Time of meditation and prayer. Are you actively spending time with God? Resting in Him. Service. Now these are all the positive things. You know, in order to grow, a person needs to eat, sleep, and exercise and work and do things. And that allows a person. And I ask you before we move on, are you involved in these things to grow? Because I'll tell you, whatever God has for you in 2018, if you're not going to be consistent with the little positive things that God wants you to do, you'll never be what God wants you to be this next year. You know, you might have big plans. You're saying, I want God to use me in this ministry, and I want to be put in this position. I want to make a difference in my Sunday school class. I want to be a good witness to my neighbors or at work, and I want these people to get saved. This evening we'll have, or this afternoon we'll have some of these requests. We want God to do big works, but I'll tell you what, He uses us, and it is important that we are faithful in the little things in order for God to do big things with us. You know what? We can ask God to do big, good things with our neighbors, but if we are not, you know what? If you want to be an effective witness, but you're not in God's word on a daily basis, I'm sorry, you're not going to be a witness. Does that make sense? You're going to struggle. We cannot, you know what? I can't be a big, strong man and go lift all kinds of things. If I don't eat food and get my sleep and exercise, I can't do it. Yet we want God to do great things. And yet we don't do our active duties in order to just grow. The little things in life. Now we looked at the positive, but I want to look at the negative side. You know, well, before I move on in my notes here, we have this eating, we have this sleeping, we have this working. And I want to tell you, what was it acted upon? Now remember, this is acted upon by a participle. What was had to be in order for this to take place? He was filled with wisdom from God, right? And I want to tell you something, that as we are here and as we endeavor to eat and sleep and work, wisdom is there, according to the book of Proverbs, at the corner on the street, calling out to every one of us, follow me. Follow me. Come, come. We have wisdom. You know, in Proverbs, we have the wicked woman that says come, and we have wisdom that says come. We have the two sides. We have our flesh and we have the spirit. We have God that says, listen, come. And which one are we going to follow? But we have wisdom saying, come. There's certainly an acting upon by the wisdom. And I want to tell you that Jesus made the active decision to yield. Jesus actively yielded and he fulfilled that. And he ate, he slept, he did what he needed to do. But I'll tell you, there's a negative side. And that was that he resisted the temptations. And he said no to the daily temptations. He said no to the things that would stun his growth. You see, there is always a negative side of things. In order to be strong and grow, you have to do certain things, but you have to stay away from other things. There are things in our lives that stunt our growth. How much would we grow if we stayed away from the things that keep us from doing the good things? You know, some of us don't have time to get into our devotions because we're too busy with things. You know, how many of you get up in the mornings and you say, I'm too busy? I fill it all the time. I fill it with things that are good, church work. And I'll tell you what, there's always a temptation to get up and say, I have too much to do today. You know what? Things get in the way. And we need to be very careful with the things that we allow into our lives that are little. And they seem so insignificant and little, but they're getting in the way. I'll tell you what, many of us are worldly and we just love the worldly look. We love the worldly things in life. We want to fit in. We want to look a certain way. We want to have the things that the world has. We want to fit that way. And I'll tell you what, those things, if we don't say no to it, they'll stun our growth. The habits in life, some of us have habits that we just can't shake, or we don't want to shake, but they stunt our growth. You know, hobbies aren't bad, but some of us have hobbies that keep us from God. Because we spend all our time doing them. We have our personalities. Even some of those personalities keep us from God. And wisdom is there crying at the corner of the street, saying, "Would you follow?" Jesus made an active decision to resist the temptations. I ask you before we move on to the last point, what little things are in or not in your life right now that are making an eternal difference? It is a big difference. See, the little things are very important. And the child grew. The next statement is the child waxed strong in spirit. He grew, he made the choice to eat, sleep, and he was influenced by the wisdom that was given, crying out to him. He obeyed. Number two, he waxed strong in spirit. Again, this verb is in the passive voice. Or I say again, this is passive. Now, he waxed strong in spirit. This is not something that he did. Again, the subject was being acted upon by an outside force. He waxed strong in spirit. If you're taking notes, the point to the second point is the big passive things. And I have quotations around the word passive, the big passive things that we allow to control or influence us. So he was acted upon in this waxing strong in spirit. To wax strong is to be the recipient of another's source giving of strength. You see, it wasn't in his own strength that he had, it was in the strength of another. You remember Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's the exact same word that is used there, that strength. Here in Luke chapter 2, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, his spirit. Later in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we have a different word for that, be strong, but it's like the exact same meaning. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see, Jesus waxed strong, but it wasn't his strength that he was drawing from. It was God's strength. It was God's strength. Just as we are to be strong. You know, we can read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 there and say, okay, be strong in the Lord. Okay, today I'm going to get up and I'm going to flex my muscles. I'm going to be strong. We can't do it. No, it's be strong in the Lord. It's being the recipient of God's strength. Jesus Christ was strengthened with God's strength. It's not our strength, it's God's strength. And it is acted upon us in our decision to operate in his strength or our own. And he gives us a strength through his word, through his spirit, and through his people. And these are the three wisdoms that he does this through. He does this influence on our lives through his word. The word that is being preached. Being influenced. You know how you're going to be strong? Through the word. Strong through the word that's being preached. If you're not listening to God's to preaching from God's word, there's no way we can be strong. And the word doesn't just come through the preacher up here. People are used. The word of God and our devotions are used. But the strength comes through his word. The strength comes through his spirit. The spirit that preaches to us. Does the Holy Spirit preach to us? He preaches to me. As the word of God is being given, then the Spirit steps in and he knocks on my door and says, remember that verse. Remember you ought to do this. Remember you ought not to do that. We have the preaching of His Word, the preaching of His Spirit, which combined are the work of God. And we have the preaching of His people. The people in your lives that are influencing you for the cause of Christ, for God. Parents, pastors, Sunday school teachers, other adults, grandparents, other godly people in our lives that are telling us God's Word. And this verb is what they call an imperative. That means to keep on, to keep on. The word wax is to increase. It's an increasing, continual keeping on. And He says, in spirit. The word is pneuma, which we get the Holy Spirit from. Now, He's not talking about the Holy Spirit here, but this is our spirit. He says that He waxed strong in His spirit. That's the movement of air. That's the wind, the movement of air. The movement of our life, the motivation of our life, the feelings of our life, the thoughts of our life, the decisions of our life, the will. It's called the inner man. The inner man. It's waxing strong. It's continually being strong inside. Again, Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant unto you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with His might, or strengthened with might by His Spirit, in the inner man. I remember the Old Testament character of Caleb. No, Numbers 14:24 that says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another or a different unusual spirit with him. It's not the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the different motivation in life. He had different thoughts. He had different actions. He had different motivations. He had different loves and passions. He had different decisions. He had a different will about him. Acted upon from wisdom, God. He was different in his motivations, feelings, thoughts, decisions, and his will by God Almighty. And wisdom is there in the corner of the street in the form of His Word, desperately trying to give you God's Spirit to strengthen you. Wisdom is there at the corner of the street in the form of the Holy Spirit, desperately trying to give you God's Spirit to strengthen you. Wisdom is there at the corner of the street in the form of your parents, children, desperately trying to give you God's Spirit to strengthen you. Wisdom is there at the corner of the street in the form of pastors, desperately trying to give you God's Spirit to strengthen you. Wisdom is there in the corner of the street in the form of teachers, desperately trying to give you God's Spirit to strengthen you. Wisdom is there at the corner of the street in the form of your peers, Christian peers, godly peers, desperately trying to give you God's Spirit to strengthen you. And yet there are others in the corner of the street in the various forms, friends, co-workers, media, entertainment, entertainers, that are also desperately trying to give you the devil's spirit to destroy you. And what about Jesus? He made a choice to allow the influence of His Father to be strengthened. Question. We've already asked about the small things in your life. What about the big things? What about the big things that passively direct you in your life? That are allowing to steer and control you? What controls your motivations? What controls your feelings? What controls your thoughts? What controls your decisions? What controls your will? You see, Jesus made an active decision to yield, to resist, to be influenced by the Father. And the evidence was there. What was the evidence that Jesus allowed God to act upon Him? As He chose to eat and sleep and live. Acted upon by God the Father to give Him strength and to grow. What was the result? What was the fourth statement that we made? The evidence was that the grace of God was upon Him. We can conclude that the grace of God is upon Him because of His growing, because of His waxing strong. Being the recipient of that wisdom that God continued to give him day in and day out. Folks, we are constantly and continually receiving God's wisdom. We're supposed to be reading, preaching, teaching, learning,
others, encouraging, helping. And I'll tell you what, those little things made a big difference. But I'll tell you what, the big things passively made a big difference as well. And I'll tell you what, it prepared him to be the man of God that he would be at 12. And folks, I want to tell you, it will be prepare you to be the man or woman of God that you need to be at whatever age you are in 2018. So I ask you, what does God have for you? He might have some big things, but we need to pay attention to the little things and the big things, actively and passively in our lives, that are going to be there to influence this next year. And if we don't pay attention to those little things, we don't pay attention to those big things, then we will not be what God wants us to be. We will fail. And at the end of 2018, we'll be here and saying again, boy, I got to do something. I got to grow. I got to grow. God help us. God help us. Father, I pray that you would help us this next year, that we would, that others would evidence that the grace of God is on our lives. God, we need you. I pray maybe you've convicted some people about some small things in their lives that they're not giving over, that they've addicted themselves to, or that they're allowing to come into their lives. God, I pray that they would get those little things right. But maybe there are some big things. Lord, they're not allowing the Word of God. They're not allowing the preaching. They're not allowing other people to influence them in a certain way. And they just resist that. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would help these folks to get things right so that we can make a difference this next year in 2018. God, help us. Lord, help us. Help us to be willing to let you follow as you lead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.